Good evening. Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here. Thank you so much for the prayer, Dr. Hunt. I appreciate you mentioning Dad. I had the opportunity this afternoon. Our whole family went and hung out with him for the afternoon and got the opportunity to spend some time with him. He sat in his chair and didn't move a whole lot. We were playing Uno and Clue, which I won Clue just in case Harrison has forgotten that. But when we were playing Uno, one of the biggest chuckles that we got out of the day is when I slapped one of the kids with the draw four, and Dad found that quite humorous. We don't take prisoners in Uno. It doesn't matter if you're one of the kids or one of the adults. I mean, it's no holds bar. And so we had a good time together. I appreciate those who have asked about him. He wanted me also to express that he appreciates your thoughts and prayers as well. This morning we began looking at the topic of walking with God. And as we talked about this idea of walking in the Bible, it's used to describe the direction and the manner of one's life. We notice that it can be used in a positive way, and we also notice that it can be used in a negative way. And we said that there are at least four ways in which we may walk in relation to God. We noticed, first of all, this morning, walking against God. And we looked at the example in Genesis chapter 3 and noticed Satan, Adam, and Eve all made the decision to walk against God. We then went from that to talking about walking after God. And we looked at the example of Abraham, how when God came to him and told him to leave his country and to separate from his family, that he only partially obeyed that. It wasn't until later on that he finally separated from Lot, and it was at that point that God once again reiterated that promise with him. And now that brings us to our third of four points that we want to notice tonight. And that is walking ahead of God. Walking ahead of God. Just as we did this morning, and with each one of these points, we've been noticing three subpoints. And so we want to first notice walking ahead of God defined. What do we mean when we talk about walking ahead of God? Walking ahead of God is going beyond what God has commanded. God's given us the blueprints for worship, right? But we decide that, you know what? It would be better, it would draw in more people if we make worship more dynamic. If we bring in some instruments, if we add some smoke from the pulpit, some different things to liven things up. What are we doing? We're walking ahead of God. We're going beyond what God has said. God tells us how the church is to be organized. To be autonomous congregations with elders serving as the head. But we feel, you know, it'd be better and easier to have an earthly headquarters, to have maybe a one-man rule. Once again, we're going beyond what God has said. We're walking ahead of Him. God tells us how to be saved, but we decide, you know, it would be easier to require something less than that. And thus it might be more attractive to more people. Once again, we find ourselves walking ahead of God. So that brings us to the second thing that we want to notice, and that is walking ahead of God depicted. Let's notice an example of this. And once again, we're going back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 13, God had reiterated His promise to Abraham. In verses 15 and 16, He says, "For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." You know, as God makes that promise to Abraham, Abraham had to be thinking in his head, "God, you forgot something." At this point in time, Abraham didn't have an heir, did he? And in fact, if you look at the ages of both Abraham and Sarah, they're past the years of being able to have a child. And so God has promises them that they would have one, but time begins to pass. 5 years go by, 10 years. Ultimately, it would be 25 years later before God would give them that child that He promised them. And you know, thinking is the way that we think, and put yourselves in their shoes. You know, as those years ticked away, they had to begin wondering to themselves, has God forgotten about this? I mean, He made this promise to us, but is there something that we should be doing? And there came a time when Abraham and Sarah decided that they were going to help God out. In other words, they began to walk ahead of God. And in Genesis chapter 16, in verses 1 through 4, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. Now the son Ishmael that is born of this, it causes all sorts of problems. And in fact, Ishmael would give birth to a nation that would be a thorn in the side of Israel for years to come. All because they decided to walk ahead of God. So now that brings us to our third point. And that is walking ahead of God defeated. Just as we've done with the other two, how do we defeat, how do we overcome walking ahead of God? Let me give you two things. Number one, we need to have patience. We need to have patience. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, Isaiah records a beautiful passage on the idea of patience. He writes, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, we sang the song, and the song at the very end of that says, teach me, Lord, to wait. Brother, when it comes to God, we need to be patient. God doesn't always operate on our timetable. God does not see things as we see. He does not do things as we do. That's why James would write in James chapter 5 and verse 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. In Romans 12:12, Paul would write, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Brethren, our God does things right, but He does them in His time. And if we're going to prevent ourselves from trying to walk ahead of God, then we need to be patient and wait on Him. A second way that we can defeat walking ahead of God, that is number two, through prayer. Through prayer. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing." That's a hard verse, isn't it? You know, it's amazing sometimes some of the passages of Scripture that actually are the most difficult are just said very simply, and this is one of them. Be anxious for nothing. Some translations say, do not worry. That's difficult, isn't it? I mean, am I the only... Y'all just looking at me. I'm not the only one that finds that difficult, right? Okay, now some heads are moving. I was about to say, maybe I'm alone standing up here on this. How do we do that? Continue to read the passage. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." How do we do that? We turn those things over to God. You remember when Abraham is standing there with the angels that appeared as men, and they've told him that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he makes the statement, "Will the God of all the earth not do right?" Now, he knew the answer to that question, didn't he? He knew that the God of all the earth, he's always going to do right. He's always going to make the right decision. Brethren, we just need to be patient. We need to pray. And we need to place our trust in Him. When we have concerns, when we're wanting to walk ahead of God, we need to pray and we need to wait. That brings us to our fourth and final point tonight. And that is walking alongside God. Walking alongside God. First, how do we define this? And walking alongside God is just that. It's doing what God has commanded. This is the faithful Christian doing what God has commanded when He's commanded it for the reasons that He's commanded it. Thus, we're just like Amos, as Amos said, can two walk together except they are agreed? We're agreeing with God, so we're walking alongside Him. Walking with God requires that we agree with Him, that we have the proper attitude towards Him, and that we act. We can't just say, well, I agree with what God said. I believe that He is God. I respect Him. But I'm just going to stay right where I'm at. All that action has to be there if we're going to walk alongside God. We see a picture of this, and once again in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis 6, we get the picture of Noah. And Noah was without a doubt one who walked with God. Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Verse 8, but. We talked about that word before. It's a word of contrast. He's just talked about the sad state of affairs in the world, that the only thought of man's heart was evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Because Noah was doing what God had commanded him to. That doesn't mean that Noah deserved God's grace, that he had earned or merited that grace in some way. That's not what I'm saying. But he placed himself in a position where he could find God's grace. And he did that by serving God faithfully. This is further seen at the end of chapter 6 in Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah is just one of many examples in our Bibles of people who did what God commanded, of individuals who walked alongside Him. That brings us to our third and final statement. Walking alongside God, not defeated this time, but desired. Y'all, this is where we want to be. This is the desired spot where we're walking step in step with God. And y'all, that doesn't happen automatically. A person doesn't become a Christian and then suddenly they've got it all figured out. This is something that can take a lifetime to get ourselves the right where we need to be. But this is where we should be aiming. This is where we should be striving. This is where we should be shooting for, that we're walking step in step with the God of heaven. It's not just that He desires such, but He has the right to demand such. This is where we have to be if we want to be pleasing to Him. If we want to go to heaven, then we need to be walking along with God. So I ask you again this evening, where are you walking? You know, there are only two paths that you can be traveling down tonight. And Jesus told us those two paths in Matthew chapter 7. In verses 13 and 14, He said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The wide way represents those in the first three categories that we talked about. Walking ahead of God, walking behind God, walking against God. Only those traveling down that narrow way are the ones that are seeking to walk with Him. And brethren, that is the only way that leads to heaven. Which way are you walking down tonight? Do you need to become a Christian? by putting Christ on in baptism? Do you need to change direction because you realize tonight you're headed down the wrong path? Friend, there is only one way to heaven. Are you headed down that road? If you're not, God's given you a chance to change. And He's giving it to you right now. So together we stand and sing.